whether or not someday life will come to an end. There will be no more sunrises, no more minutes, no more hours, no more days. All the things you've collected, whether treasured or forgotten, will pass to someone else. Your wealth, your fame, your temple power will shrivel to nothing. It will not matter what you owned. It will not matter what you owed. Your grudges, your resentments, your frustrations, your jealousies will all disappear. So will your hopes, your ambitions, your plans, and the to-do list will all expire. The wins and losses that once seemed so important will fade away. It won't matter where you came from or what side of the track you lived on at the end. It won't matter whether you were beautiful or brilliant. It won't matter whether you were male or female. Even your skin color will be irrelevant. So what will matter? How will the value of your days be measured? What will matter is not what you bought, but what you built. Not what you got, but what you gave. What will matter is not your success, but your significance. What will matter is not what you learned, but what you taught. What will matter is every act of integrity, compassion, courage, or sacrifice that enriched others and encouraged others to emulate your example. What will matter is not your competence, but your character. What will matter is not how many people you knew, but how many will feel a lasting loss when you're gone. What will matter is not your memories, but the memories that live in those who love you. What will matter is how long you will be remembered by whom and for what. Living a life that matters doesn't happen by accident. It's not a matter of circumstance. It's a matter of choice. Choose to live a life that matters. Living a life that matters. Have you ever thought about your life? Does it matter if you live? Will it matter when your life is over? What will the memories be left that you will leave behind? What will people that knew you well remember you as? Will they remember you as a complainer, as a quitter, as a boastful, as a liar, as a boastful person or as a liar? Will they remember you as someone that was joyful and happy, someone that was uplifting, someone that was encouraging, someone that was strong and stable? How will you be remembered? Have you ever thought much about that? You know, yesterday Sue and I and grandkids went down to what they call Surf Stopping Day in Nochipoca. And there must have been between 5,000 to 6,000 people there. This little bitty place between Martin, that's where it is, between Alvin and Nova Scotia. And you see all those people there. And you know, I was thinking as I saw these people, what about their life? Where will they spend eternity? Of course, I'm not their judge. But how many of those people, of all those people there, life will matter someday? And what about my life? You think about what was said about Judas, it was better that he was never been born. So many people's lives doesn't matter. And so many people's lives are bad examples. You think about Demas, what Paul talked about. He talked about him 3 times in the Bible. And in his letter to Timothy, he says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved his present world. The first 2 times it was talked about in the affirmative about Demas. But how could he leave the Lord's work because of love of the present world? You say, well, I understand that. Because Satan is powerful, isn't he? And he will overpower you or me if you allow him to lead your life. You cannot love this present world. The Bible says all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. All that's in this world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof also passeth away. And he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And for this today, as we think about this subject, I want you to determine within yourself to live a life that matters. Okay? And whatever you've got to do, whatever you've got to turn loose in your life to serve the Lord, and to live a life that matters, you determine today to do that very thing, whatever it may be. No matter how much it may hurt, no matter how much you may not want to, but if you will live a life that matters, it will be in Jesus Christ. You know, we would know nothing about the apostles that were with our Lord except they were with the Lord. That's why we know about them. And your life can matter if you will live for the Lord. And you may have noticed something in this. I'm going to read it again at the close of the service. But something in here that really sticks out. What will matter is every act of integrity, every act of compassion, every act of courage or sacrifice that enriched or encouraged others to follow your example. Have you ever thought about how much that people follow your example? I remember as a child walking behind my granddaddy when he was plowing. And every step he took, I tried to step in his track. And then it meant nothing. But now as I look back, when I follow him in the field, it means something now because I would think he would say to me, even then, I remember now. Things my parents said, things that some other person said to me. I remember to this day some of the things they said. Just, maybe just a sentence or two. Or some act they did. And you remember too by those very same things that I am too. Every act this thing says, this article says. Every act of encouragement, every act of integrity, every act of compassion or sacrifice that's encouraged those to follow your example, they're going to be remembered. And you don't know who is going to remember you, folks. You don't know who is watching you, who is listening to you, who knows how you live, who knows what you say, who knows what you tell. If it's true or if it's not true. In the Bible we have examples about people, and we talked about Demas, we talked about Judas. But you know, the Bible also talked about a man named Esau. And Esau was a twin, he was the firstborn of Jacob, his brother, his twin brother. And so he received the inheritance to be the head of the family. And he sold that, the Bible says, for morsel of meat. And the Bible condemns it in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. He calls him a profane person. As Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Now, sometimes in life people do strange things with stuff. And they sell out for certain things. And that's what Esau did. He came from the field, he was hungry, his brother Jacob was cooking, and he's faint, he's hungry. And so he tells his ghost, he's feeding me what you're eating. And so Jacob says to him, he said, well, send me your birthright. He was firstborn, Esau was. And he says, and Esau thinks with himself, if I die, of course he's not about to die, what good is my birthright to me? And so he sells him his birthright, the Bible says, for more for me, it goes on to say, for you know how that after when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, so he thought it started carefully with tears. He could not change his mind once he had sold that. And so many things that you do in life, and I do in life, there is no way to change your mind. You may get forgiveness of it, but you've said that, you've done that, and you've got to stick with that. Such as a marriage vow. When you promise, the death do you part. The death do we part. You promise that. And the death parts you, you're one. And nothing breaks that but death. And so life is about choices. It's about making the right choices. In Philippians 1 and 9, Paul says this, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent." Now, if your life is going to be a life that matters, you have got to approve things that are excellent or that are right. What do you approve of in your life? What do you approve of? Is it normally good things? Do you? Or do you approve of just about anything, anyway? The Bible says that we should approve things that are excellent, that are right, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. Brethren, that is so important, that we are sincere. You know what Paul told Timothy? In your word, in your conversation, be as good as your word. Be sincere, Timothy. In your conversation, be sincere. What you tell somebody, are you sincere about that? You know, sometimes we speak before we think, don't we? We're not really sincere. You think, later on, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that because I probably can't do that. But you may be sincere without offense. And then he goes on to say in verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And so if we are sincere, if we approve things that are excellent, we can be filled with fruits of righteousness. Now that is living a life that matters. Have you seen people that are filled with fruits of righteousness? They always do the right thing. They always say the right thing. They're always in the right place, so to speak. That's what he's talking about. People are filled with fruits of righteousness. They do the right thing. Time and time again. It's not just an accident. It's a matter of choice that we do the right thing. How would your employer describe you? You work at a job? You work with somebody? How would they describe you? Are you on time? Why shouldn't you not be on time? You say, well, the boss says not on time. That's not talking about you. Talking about him, I'm talking about you. Are you on time for your job? Do you do a good job? Do you? Do you steal from your employer? You know the Bible condemns that. It talks about stealing small things from your employer. The word is purloin. And that means stealing small things from the people you work for. What kind of person are you to work with? Are you easy to work with? You know, I've worked on the line crew with men, and some people are real easy to work with. I remember this guy, he's the same every day. Every day he's the same. Hard working, easy to be around, easy to get along with, just a joy to be around. I've never forgotten that. But was I that way? Was I needy? Was I a hard worker? See, friends, we're talking about living a life that matters, and you've got to do it day by day, day in and day out. Whose life that matters more than anybody's life? Jesus Christ, of course. Why does his life matter so much? Why did it matter? Because he did God's will for his life. You know, he prayed to be some other way than not the cross. But he says, not my will, but thine be done. He says, God, whatever you want me to do, I will do that very thing. His life mattered. And it still matters to me and you today because He died for my sins and for your sins. Reading the old Bible about a man named Joshua. Now Joshua was one of the 12 that spied out. Well, one of the 12 spies. And one of the two that brought back a report that we can take that city. And of course the other 10 said we can't take it. They didn't believe, they didn't have faith in God. But Joshua was one that said they could take the city, take the land. And Joshua, after Moses died, was a leader of the children of Israel. And in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua made this speech to them. Listen to this speech. He says, this is part of it. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Two things. He says, serve God, fear Him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. The light of choice, it says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua told him that. Whether it be the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, then he went on to say, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Okay, brethren, how many of y'all here today have this attitude? How many of us here today are the spiritual leader of our family? Was Joshua a spiritual leader? He certainly was. Was his life a life that matters? You know what else the Bible says? Look on to the next chapter, or the same chapter, Joshua 24. And it talks about him in verse 29. And it came to pass that after those things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of God of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Verse 31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Now you know how they were. You know how they were. They were serving and quit. Israel would. But they served them all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived, and we say outlived, that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. His example, my friends, went on after his life was over. Even those people that knew him, that worked with him, those elders, it says, they served the Lord as long as they lived. Whether or not someday life will come to an end, whether you want it to, it's going to end. And you and I, us older brethren, are leaving the church to the younger members. And they're going to remember me and you for something. It may be good, and it may not be so good. What do they see in you? What do they see in me? You might be surprised. I've had some younger members look at you. And what do they think about you? And Joshua made a bold statement, didn't he? But he lived up to it. What he was saying. And friends, I don't know how you feel about Joshua. This just makes me want to be stronger. It should make us all. It's very encouraging to me to know here's a man that faced so many hardships, so many problems, but he still stood for God. He still was God's servant. He never gave up. He never gave in. He never quit. He never looked back. He always had faith in God. And despite apathy, he was one, like I said, that said, we can take them because he knew God was on their side. Moses. Here's another good example. Moses was born at a time when the children of Israel were multiplying so fast. And so the king decided to kill all the boys two and under. And of course, Moses was hid, and for a while in his home, but then he got up to a certain age and found it hard to keep him hid, and so they put him out in this little basket in the water, and his sister was there to watch him, see what would happen. And Pharaoh's daughter found this little basket. And she said, well, get that basket, the man, I'm just paraphrasing this, and brought it up there, you know, and opened up the basket, and there was Moses in that basket. And she knew it was one of the Hebrew children. And so she adopted him, I guess you would say, but his mother, Moses' mother, raised him because his sister stepped out saying, can I get somebody to take care of the child for you? She said, yes, and so Moses' mother raised him. And Moses was in line then to be possibly someday the king of Egypt. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather. Now here again, we see that Moses is making a choice. Choosing rather some official of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches, notice what he says, than the treasures in Egypt. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ to be more valuable than the money that was in Egypt. A matter of choice. For he had respect for the recompense of the reward. Moses saw the reward of serving God was far greater than money in Egypt. So his life was a life that matters, that did matter. And then we know about Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 7, Paul says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is waiting for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love, also that love his appearing. I want you to notice carefully verse 7. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. Friend, your life will always be a fight against sin. That's right. Your life will always be a fight against sin. You read Romans chapter 7. And Paul talks about when I would do good, evil is present. Oh, wicked man that I am. He talks about that there. And what he's talking about is how he always goes through this fight against sin. All his life he fought sin. And you and I are going to fight it too. That's right. So you're going to get into it and serve sin. One of the two. Satan's not going to give up on you. Oh no. It's going to be a fight the rest of your day. The rest of my day, I'm going to fight sin. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He says, I have fought a good fight. He said, I did not quit. I did not give up. I did not turn back. He says, I have finished my course. Paul's life is a life that matters. He fought all his life against Satan. And he said, if I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Friends, he is a man. He was a man that mattered. His life mattered. You know what the Bible says in Matthew 5 and 6? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after doing what is right. That want to do the right thing. You know, friends, I know you probably run into people that was bound and determined to do their own thing. Whatever it was. It might have been to cause you bodily harm. It might have been to take money from you. Some scam or something like that. But the Bible says we should do, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after doing what is right. Doing the right thing. Paul talks about Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 in verse 12. He says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in your word, what you say, in your conversation. Timothy, you be an example in your charity, in your spirit. Friends, that is so important, that we have the right spirit. What if we come to church, oh, it's Jesus, it's always this way. It's this old bound spirit. That's not the way to live, is it? You know what the Bible says? This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice and be glad in this day that the Lord has made for us. It is a beautiful day today. But if it was not a beautiful day, can't we still rejoice in this day and enjoy this day? You're not going to enjoy it if you always look on the bad side of everything. And you find plenty of that. So Paul says, Timothy, that you're the example in your spirit, Timothy, what you are inside. What you show to other people in your spirit. In faith, how strong is your faith? A little bit? Or is it real strong? How strong is your faith? In purity. Can I come give a penance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine? Timothy said there's some things you've got to give a penance to. And it's to read your Bible, to exhort, and watch the doctrine. Don't change the doctrine. The Bible is just over and over talks about that. You can't change the doctrine. You've got to accept what God says. His word as it says what it is. You can't change that. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse 5. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, friends, are we happy Christians? Are you a happy Christian? Are you a happy Christian? That's a good question, isn't it? You know, friends, I read one time what a man said, a sour old Christian is a sad sight. A sour old Christian is a sad sight. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing. You worry? You know what the Bible says? Don't worry. Be careful, these don't worry. Now this scripture, verse 6, is one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. It can do more for you than you think it can. I heard Brother Sam 2 or 3 months ago over at Fayette Road. I don't know if any of y'all were down here that night. But either way, he dwelt some on this scripture right here. And after service, the overseer talked to him some, and she talked to me about what he talked about. He talked about the how powerful this war had been for his life. Because he said, I've been a worrier. He said, I've got to point out where I don't worry anymore. And this scripture right here, Philippians 4, and verse 6, is what caused it. He said, because I kept on over and over studying this. He says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, Paul says everything, whatever it is, don't worry about it, but pray about it. Supplication means earnest pleading. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And friends, that like I said, that's one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. And it will work. It will affect your life. What did he say? He said, don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer. You ever pray and forget about even what you said or what you talked to God about? You ever get part of the way through a meal and say, did I even thank God for this food? Well, friends, that is not prayer. Oh, no. That's just repeating words. You're not praying to God because your thought's not in it. You're not thinking about what you're saying. Supplication means earnest pleading. Have you ever prayed with God earnestly? Earnestly prayed with God. That's what he's talking about here. In thanksgiving. Again, we see here rejoicing. You've got to be thankful. You've got to see the good things of life. You've got to see the blessings of life. I know sometimes it's hard to do that. When you're sick, when you're lost with a loved one, the thing is, you've got to see the good things of life. You've got to be thankful. Let your request be made known unto God. Now look at verse 7. If you will do this, he says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Paul says, I don't even understand it. What? Paul said, I don't even understand it. Here's how to get it. I tell you how to come by it, but I can't understand it. And I tell you how to get it. And you're not going to understand it either. He said, it passes your understanding. You're not going to understand it, he said. That's exactly what he said. It passes all understanding. It shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Now, since I heard Sandy preach this, whenever it was, 2-3 months ago, it was something. I read it. But I don't think it ever struck me as it did that night over in Georgia when you talked a little bit about this. And what Sue said more to me later on that. And since that time, I studied this more and more and thought about it more and more. Don't worry. Pray about it. Please with God about it. Be thankful. It shall keep your heart and mind. It passes understanding. You don't understand how you feel so much better, so much more at ease, so much closer to God. You don't understand His peace. The world don't understand His peace. Really or not, Sunday life will come to an end. There will be no more sunrises, no more minutes, no more hours, no more days. All the things you've collected, whether treasured or forgotten, will pass to someone else. And I thought about that. Yeah, we had a yard sale here not long ago. And we dug out some things. I did. I know. I didn't ask if she forgot about it. We dug out some things I didn't even know I had. I forgot about this little thing. I know sometimes I have a tool in my shop. And I buy another tool. I get home and I look and I dig out and I forgot another tool. I already just like it. I think, I forgot I bought this little tool. And that's what's going to happen someday. All those things you've got, whether you treasure it or you forget about it, it's going to go to somebody else. Your wealth, your fame, your temporal power will shrivel to nothing. It will not matter what you own or what you owe. Now think about that one. It ain't no matter what you own or what you owe. Your grudges, you got any grudges? Your resentment, your frustrations, your jealousies will all disappear. So will your hopes. I don't really agree with that part of this. Because I feel like if I die, I'm going to have a hope. I feel like you do too. But psychics are talking about the hope of this. And we don't know who wrote this. And anyway, so are your hopes, your ambitions, your plans, and your to-do list will expire. You got a to-do list, your wife needs a to-do list.
Well, that's going to be gone now. You don't have to worry about that to do this anymore. I went with a guy one day, he left his wife to do this. He was brave, I guess. Anyway, the wins and losses that once seemed so important will fade away. Now, how many of us can relate to that? You know, I missed this big old book. January 11th. This year, 7:30 in the morning, I know what day it was, what time it was. I missed it. Just clean missed it. Sorry now. You come back being disappointed. Those of you that like to hunt, you know what I mean. I looked and I looked. Brent helped me look. I got the dog to look. No deer. No thing you touched. Maybe you're a football player. Maybe you remember a loss that really, really bothers you. Maybe you remember some time they won a game that really made you feel good. That's what it's done. It's all these will disappear. Will fade away. It won't matter where you came from or what side of the track you lived on at the end. It won't matter if you were beautiful or brilliant. Even your gender, whether you're male or female, in skin color, will be irrelevant. So what will matter? How would the value of your days be measured? What will matter is not what you bought, but what you built. Not what you got, but what you gave. What will matter is not your success, but your significance. What will matter is not what you learned, but what you taught. What you taught. What am I teaching with my life? You know, my grandson, and Taylor does too some, but she does it less. But he reminds me of things I said. He reminds me of things I did. Papa, you said so-and-so one time. And I know Taylor remembers like he does, but she just don't, you know, bring it up. But Derek does. Papa, I remember so-and-so what you did. And when he says that to me, I think about, you know, how he watches me. And not just me watching you. He'd be watching you if he's around you. Or anybody else. I'm sure he's watching his teacher. Things like that. Now, somebody's watching you. What you say and what you're teaching. All that matters is every act of integrity. Be honest. Every time. Always be honest. Every act of compassion, that is so important, we're compassionate. Every act of courage or every act of sacrifice that enriched or encouraged others to follow your example. And that's what happens. When you do right, you encourage others to do right too. I remember reading one time about somebody driving to work and they stopped and let somebody in front of them and said that person got in front of them and said, pretty soon, that person that they let in stopped and let somebody else in. And they felt like because they stopped and let them in, that encouraged the other person to stop and let somebody else in. And probably did. What will matter is not how many people you knew, but how many will feel a lasting loss when you're gone. I don't know if you've ever gone and heard a speaker and they get this long line of things that he's done or she's done. And I sit there and think about, when do you have time for your family? I mean, a lot of things they did was, I'm not saying it was bad. It's good. But I think that, what about your family? When do you have time for your wife and your kids or your husband? You ever think about that? Who's going to cry at your funeral? Something to think about, isn't it? Your family needs you. Your wife, your husband needs you. Your grandkids need you. Your mom and daddy needs you. And they're going to feel that lasting loss when you're gone. What will matter is not your memories, but the memories that live in those that love you. Those people that love you, the memories they have of you. What kind of memories are you leaving? What will matter is how long you will be remembered, by whom and for what. What will you be remembered for? Who will remember you? Living a life that matters doesn't happen by accident. It's not a matter of circumstance. It's a matter of choice. Choose to live a life that matters. I hope the word today has been encouraging to you to look at your life, examine your life, and see if you're living a life that matters. And if you're not, you can change that life. Jesus Christ died for your sins and died for mine. Died for the sins of the whole world. He died that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And He says to you and to me, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly at heart. You shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Come unto me. As we sing the song of invitation today, you have that opportunity to come to the Lord. To be born again, to be baptized. If you believe that He is God's Son. If you're willing to come up today and make that confession by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Repent of your sins. You can be baptized today for the forgiveness of your sins. Today can be that day that you can begin to live a life that matters. If you are a member of the church, perhaps you have not lived as you should. Perhaps you've got away from the Lord. About shame on the church that the Bible's own blood. Come back today. Come back today. Confess your faults. Turn from those faults. Turn from that sin. Because we've been in Christ and God will forgive you. Won't you come together? We stand and we sing.